Yeah, yeah. A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. Hike all the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the shit to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life,
what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Well, peace and blessings, everyone. You have heard it. You have reached Bree Life Radio, and I am your host, Bree. That song came to me early this morning by a young man in Houston, Texas, by the name of A-Dream. And I just want to give him the biggest shout out and thank him so much for listening to my show and just creating this wonderful intro for me, just picking up the vibe, just by listening to the themes of the show. So, again, that artist goes by the name of A-Dream, because everybody got a dream. So, yes, it is Freestyle Thursdays. So, today, as you know, what we've been doing every week on Thursdays, we have our own individual freestyle. And that means that anyone can call in, and whatever topic is really pressing on your mind and your heart, you can give us a call at 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. You can also reach us at BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. And give us questions, concerns, and always we welcome your constructive criticisms. In addition, I would like to give a big shout out to my Crown Heights family, Crown Heights in the house. On Tuesday, if you don't know, we had a show that specifically was based around a page that's on Facebook, which is called I Grew Up in Crown Heights. So you, even if you're not a Crown Heights member, you may want to just go and check out the page and see that there are about 2,300 members, and everyone has interesting Remember Wins to add. So part of the freestyle today is geared to part two of Bree's block party that took place on Tuesday, and I opened the mic up and the lines up to Crown Heights listeners to call in to give me all their Remember Wins. Last night, if you weren't listening, you can always go to our archives at blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life and check out shows that you might have missed. And last night was it was a big doozy. Which I've been receiving a lot of phone calls and text messages and emails about today, Mr. Nice Guy. No one seems to be able to identify this individual, but we do know he exists. He exists in the mind and heart of the Nice Guy himself. As a matter of fact, when I talked about the Nice Guy, I got an email about 1 o'clock in the morning that said, well, Bree, I guess you considered me a geek. I named names on Tuesday, but tonight there'll be no naming of names. So I'm going to open up the phone lines again. That number is 424-220-1862. And we're going to take our first caller. Peace and blessings, you've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking with tonight? Hello? Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. Peace and blessings, you've reached Bree Life Radio. I'm your host, Bree. Who am I speaking to tonight? Okay. Well, callers, without further ado, you know that part of Bree Life Radio is definitely not possible without the animation and the contribution of all my guest callers. And I am going to bring a most famous worldwide, globally known brother on the line right about now. And what's his name? Mark from Houston, Texas.
Hey, hey. What's going on, Bree?
What up, what up?
What's happening? Hey, I'm sitting up here. In my left hand, I got a piece of pizza. In my right hand, I got a glass of Cabernet. So I'm ready to go.
Oh, my. The Cabernet Sauvignon.
Sauvignon.
Okay.
That's right. Salud.
So how did you like our intro?
Oh, well, you know, all right. No, I love it. I love it. You know, I got to love it. You know, shout out to A. Dot Dream. First of all, I got to shout him out. Number one.
Yeah.
That dude, you know, hot.
Big
hot
up A. Dot Dream.
From, you know, by way, I'm gonna give you his pedigree from St. Paul, Minnesota, now located in Houston, Texas, and soon to be worldwide. So everybody check him out. A. Dot Dream. And you know, the music was done by also this producer guy. I'm not gonna name him anyway. Nice beat, nice beat, and you know, all that good stuff.
P.F. Fires.
P.S. Fires, yeah, he's a Chicago native. Chicago Fires, like not Flyers, Fires. You did, yeah, all of that. It's a beautiful thing, you know. But yeah, he's in Houston. If you're interested in any nice hot track, you know, you can hit him up too. You know what I'm saying? And Bree a direct.
How would you reach P.F. Fires?
How would you reach P.F. Fires? Well, you can reach P.F. Fires at markaa1wade@yahoo.com, and I'll hook you up with them. markaa1wade@yahoo.com. But anyway, What's on your mind? What's on your mind? You got something on your mind you want to talk about.
What's on mind today?
Hey, you know, it's a lot of them. You know, today was a nice day in Houston. You know, I don't know where everybody is. I'm sure all over the place. You know, Houston, you know, we was in the 80s, and, you know, it was a beautiful thing, and I can't complain, and spring is on its way, and I'm just looking forward to some good old times and some new horizons as I embark on my next chapter. So,
does that new chapter involve unleashing yourself?
Well, you know what? It's kind of interesting because this is the time of the year. We're moving into March, and it's tornado season. So I will, you know, I don't want to say if you're near me, you better duck or whatever, but it's a beautiful time, and I'll leave it at that. We're going to get off.
All right.
But, Bree, what are we going to talk about, Bree? Because I know there's something on your mind. I'm waiting for you to spit it out because I know it's on your mind, and I just wait for it. I want to hear it.
Well, you know, a few things are on my mind. Well,
come on.
Most presently,
mm-hmm.
as you know, we were on the line last night talking about Mr. Nice Guy. And my friend Alex from Crown Heights, by way of Virginia now, and his divine wisdom, started talking about the concept of opposites attracting. And, of course, you know, conversation took a whole new nuclear cloud. And, I definitely have an issue. So my freestyle to start it off is talking about this concept of the opposites attracting. Now, I will not negate that opposites do attract. But the whole idea that you have to succumb to opposites attracting just because opposites attract, I have a problem with that. Because, like I said last night, when you're in opposition, that will make for a healthy relationship.
Here we go, y'all listening to this. Come on, nation. Come on, call in on this one. She's getting ready to go in, and I'm already ready. I'm sitting down now, so go for it.
Well, do you have something to say about that? Like, I really have to ask. You know, okay.
Like, you really have to ask. Well, dig it. Opposites attract. See, I think you kind of got to look at this from a couple things. You know, when you say opposites, if you're talking about ideal, you know, from an ideological standpoint, you know, like, you know, I love God, I love Jesus, you love the devil. That's polar. There's a thing called things that are polarizing. All opposites are not polarizing. That's what you need to understand. Some opposites are complementary because it does bring a yin and a yang type of thing going on. It's a balancing, but it's opposite, though. It is definitely opposite. Opposition is a little different than opposite because opposition means to be opposed to, not to be just opposed, but to be opposed to. So when I'm opposed to or in opposition, I don't want to be with somebody I'm in opposition with. But an opposite is not necessarily an opposition. It may be a balancing. It may be an equilibrium piece. It doesn't have to mean, you know, for instance, I'm a little bit calmer and cool off. You may be very loquacious. I think if you got to be careful when you start talking about it, because you can get people that have a lot of the same. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of the same can be a lot of a problem. See, so I don't like these.
And like I mentioned to Alex yesterday, was that because he alluded that I was looking for someone that was exactly like myself. And that is not the case at all. Because, you know, I walk in the room and get accused of taking up all the oxygen. So we can't have two people, you know, side by side doing that. I mean, nobody'd be able to breathe, you know. I would not want someone to be exactly like myself, or I wouldn't want to be a cookie cutter to someone else. I just feel that mind-like individuals that share similar goals, similar ideology, similar wants and desires, similar PCA perspectives. And PCA, for those who are listening, means passion, care, and attention.
That's one of mine. No.
Professor
Jibber Jabber, come on. That's right.
Okay, now.
Professor Jibber Jabber.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Bree, here's a question about that. I mean, I hear you, and I think about the fact that when you say very similar, but you got MO, you know, modus operandi, how somebody operates. You might have similar beliefs, but a different way of operating within those beliefs. And to me, you got to do some research, and the biggest issue is this. You're going to have to meet the person. You're going to have to work through it. The opposite thing, because you don't know what is, because you don't know what's going to be in opposition. Because, see, we can have the same belief about, ideology. Like, I believe in Jesus, for instance. Well, you believe in Jesus. Oh, that works, right? Maybe not. Because now we got a whole bunch of different little pieces about believing Jesus, or going to this church, or going to this place, or going to this. And now we find ourselves on different things. Or, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe that you have to go to church on the Sabbath. So let's say, somebody, well, I don't believe the Sabbath is on the seventh day. I think it's really on Sunday, which is really the first day. And believe it or not, those little things can be as big as if they believe in different religions. You see what I'm saying? But on the beginning, I said, hey, Bree, what you believe? I love the Lord. And she said, oh, I love the Lord, too. Oh, that's my guy. Mm-hmm. That's on the surface. And you got to work through stuff, and you got to find out a lot about a person. And sometimes you're not going to find out until you start really hooking up with the person. So,
well, yeah.
You really, you know what I'm saying? You got to figure that out. I mean, I think that, it ain't exact science, y'all. And anybody that's out there listening that's been into more than one relationship knows it ain't an exact science. You know, we didn't get a manual for this, and we kind of feel all those odd things that you can learn from other people's experience. For some odd reason, we just love learning on our own. So I don't know what to say about that. But yeah, the opposite thing, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. If it's extreme ideological polarization, that's a different thing. That's a different thing. So
okay,
that's what I gotta say on that.
My freestyle. What's yours today? What were you feeling like today?
Well, I'm feeling like this. somebody I talked to earlier. I talked to this person earlier. They told me. They said.
What might?
This is what they said. They said they ain't taking care of no woman. Just a brother. I was at the barber shop today.
The barber shop.
I'm getting my hair cut. He said, man, I ain't taking care of no woman. He said, forget that. Now, so I further, queried my man. I said, what you say you're going to take care of a woman? Do you mean she will take care of you? He said, no, I don't need nothing to take care of me either. I need her to take care of herself. And I'll take care of myself. I was really? I said, so where are you going with this?
Where is he going with that?
Well, this is what I glean. I don't know. He might call in and he might represent himself.
I think we should be taking care of each other. I don't know that it and it's not always equal. And what are we talking about? Are we talking about finances? Or are we talking about pay? Are we talking about what are we talking about? Are we talking about cooking for somebody? What are we talking about?
Well, I see you, just like this. This is what he said. I'm getting my hair cut. I don't want to upset him too much because he cut my hair.
Oh, and I'm sorry, Mark, but just hold that thought. We're going to bring on Turtle.
Well, thank you. Hello, everybody.
Hey. Oh, you finally caught up, huh? You in the hair. Y'all remember the last time you in the hair got into a race. Anyway,
right.
We remember how that turned out. How that turned out. Yes, sir. What's going on in Minnesota? What's going on in Minnesota, Mr. Gale?
Wanting the snow to melt. That's it.
Snow. Okay. Hey, 80 degrees. Hey.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the rub in.
Yeah.
Gail. So, my Gail.
Mm-hmm.
It's Freestyle Thursdays, and Brother Mark has already started stirring the pot. He said that he was in the barbershop today.
I was. Got a good haircut, too. Martin the Barber.
Someone said that they not take care of no woman. That they want him to take care of herself, and he going to take care of himself. And you think that's all about? But before you start, I want you to let us allow Mark to finish his process. Bring it home.
Bring it home. Come on now. Yeah. I think. But anyway, so Diddy. So do say, all right, believe that she should take care of herself, meaning be responsible for herself, and I'll be responsible for myself. Now, that don't mean she might get pampered. I might grow up a big toe or whatever the case may be, you know, being a loaf of bread, whatever we do to show our appreciation for each other. But as far as the level of responsibility for her, see, he was coming from the whole concept of when women back in the Bible days and other days, when you took care of your woman, basically you took care of all her needs, meaning her financial needs, her safety needs, her needs, her sexual needs. You took care of her needs. She was the fairer sex. She needed you to take care of her. He's like, I don't buy it. I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. That's what he said. He said, I'll partner with you. He said, I'm going to partner with you, but I'm not taking care of you. And he said, I run into too many women that want to be taken care of. They looking for a sugar daddy or some other guy, and financially he's talking about, take care of me. And I'm like, no. First of all, I ain't asking you to take care of me, so why should I take care of you? That's what he said.
Wait,
so I'm going to let it go, because I was like, you know what? I got to run to the show with this one. I have to run to the show with this one, because I just want to see what people are going to say. I don't even tell you what I think about it. I just want to tell you what he said, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I don't mean to put you on blast, brother, because I know you might be listening, but hey, you can call in. Defend yourself.
Okay, so Gail, Turtle, what do you think about the concept? I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to let this one marinate because it's like,
you know,
sound like a new age brother.
You know what I think would be optimal? I think it would be optimal if Rich got on the phone. Because if Rich got on the phone, he would incite some some extra energy in you.
Excite a riot.
Yeah. What you saying?
That was last night. It was kind of...
I appreciate that, yo. I appreciate it.
So if you out there listening... My brother from Crown Heights, my historian from Crown Heights, call in the 424-220-1862. We're missing your presence, Rich. Turtle looking for you.
Call in. Come on. I need some of my fits to the
what I say.
Call in.
About the whole concept of, you know, like I said, I really need some things defined. I want to know if this individual is looking for what type of care is he talking about? I mean, is he talking about completely just taking care of himself and the other person is taking care of themselves and they're coexisting and cohabitating under the sun together?
Hear what I said, Breedy. This is what the brother said. I'm just telling you. He said, I ain't got no problem with rubbing your big toe and listening to your conversation and giving you a hug and a kiss, you know what I'm saying, and looking out for you. But I'm not playing no biblical responsibility taking care of you role from the old Bible days where she's the fairer sex and I got to make sure she's safe, I got to make sure this. Now, I ain't going to let nobody mess with her just because I got a back, but I'm not trying to take care of nobody. I mean, really, what I heard him saying was finances, because I think he's running into a lot of women that's talking about money, because he got a whole nother concept, which I don't even want to get into, but he's talking about basically these days he's running into a bunch of prostitutes. That's what he said.
Okay.
He said what?
He said, he's run into a bunch of prostitutes, meaning that people want to get paid. And he said the last time he checked, when he got to pay for it, then, you know, then he can just go to a place, to a person that is clearly representing themselves as a prostitute. So he said he's an undercover prostitute. That's what he said.
Wow.
Is that what he's doing then?
Before we go to the next level with this, I'm going to bring on another guest caller who's near and dear to my heart. I believe this is Chris from New York. So let's bring Chris from New York on, because I'm sure he has something to add to the conversation.
Hello.
Good evening, Chris.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Hey, what's up, Mark?
Yeah.
How's it going?
You all right?
Yeah.
How's it going today, buddy?
Everything is love to love, man.
So, Chris, how did you, first of all, what did you think of my new intro music?
Oh, it was cool. It was cool. I like it. It caught me totally off guard. I didn't know it was new
music. That's what I want to hear.
I didn't know it was new music at the time. This is the first time I called actually before the show started, so I thought it was always there, you know? But
oh, really? Okay.
I didn't know that it was new music, but it definitely
suits
you.
Thank you very much. And again, thank you to A Dream from Houston, Texas.
They can take that off the top of the head, you know? Yeah, that's good. Well,
so now you hear what our freestyle for the moment is as we're moving around. We're talking about a brother from the barbershop. You know, there's always deep wisdom in the barbershop.
This brother is saying that
he doesn't want to take care of no women.
I got one question to ask before I say what I need to say.
Does he got
a girlfriend?
Him and his girlfriend live together. They've been together for 2 years.
Okay.
And he said
they roommates or are they actual relationships?
No, they business partners, but they double dutch and make babies and stuff. But yeah, you know,
they double dutch bus. That's what they use. Double dutch. We go Dutch. He pay his way. I pay mine.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Wow. Wait a minute. You want to talk about that? But let Chris. I'm gonna let Chris got to
finish. Well, that's
what he's saying. But
that.
You know what? What I was wanting to say about the matter is, when you get in a relationship, usually that's like a subliminal message. Ain't nobody going in saying, "Take care of me." Most women ain't that I know. They come into the table with something just like you come into the table with something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, though. You're right.
You know, then when somebody having a hardship, the other one pulls the weight. And then that one having a hardship, the other one pulls the weight. So there's nobody. You got these new girls that they'll tell you from the get, I want my hair done, my nails, I need to get inside. They'll go in and ask you for stuff. I see that these are the younger ones. So how old?
Well,
I don't know how old this guy is we're talking about. I mean, there might be some older women, too, but most of the ones that I see are young girls who care about their hair and their nails. Huh?
He in his 40s. Go ahead.
But I was just saying, most of the young girls are like that. That's the circle I run. When I speak, I'm speaking about my circle. I'm not speaking about anyone else's circle. Anybody else, I talk about their circle. So, but usually you don't go in saying, I want this, this, and this. You know, you just happen to look at that person's financial situation. You look at your financial, you see if you want to deal with that. Because it's going to put more strain on you. You're going to be like, no, I'm not going to do that because I will wind up taking care of you.
There are quite a few women that were laying on the table and say, you know, in the very first conversation that you have, that the problem I had with my last boyfriend was that he didn't do this and he didn't do that. He didn't do the other thing. And that's why we're not together. So you're right, it is subliminal, but I do think that concept of needing help or wanting help or feeling that somebody owes you some help, I think that it is already on the table before you even get started.
Mm-hmm. And that's the type of circles that you know of.
Ooh, what circles you running in, Gail? Come on, talk about
that. I just said what circle I run in. It's like we're meeting each other and we're sitting down and we're discussing what's going on in that person's life, and then we're weighing, like, okay, do I want to be bothered with that? Okay, his credit's a little bad, but then I can help him get on his feet, then I'm gonna help him, we can pay that $500 down, and then both our scores would be 500, and then we'd take it from there. You know, it's about help one another if that's the type what you're gonna do. It's not about what I can get. That's I don't know women like that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean the funny part. Yeah. Let me say something. I mean, I think the funny part is that, like in a earlier show where Bree was talking about bringing, you know, a loaf of bread or bringing something, you know, a piece of the dinner or two bottles of wine or something like that. I mean, I think the problem that I have with having a problem with that is that in a world where you an adult, you're getting money, you're paying rent, got car notes, mortgage payment, life insurance. I mean, the big world that you live in, that's nothing. So if somebody wants that, that's nothing. And I mean, it sounds like your boy in the barbershop is not really saying anything. He's not really saying anything different than that. I mean, the fact of the matter is,
right.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I got two daughters, okay? I'm not going to take care of you like I'm your father, which means that every time that you want to go to the store and you need $20, I'm going to give it to you. And every time you want to go on a school trip, I'm going to give it to you. And when you need money to go to the doctor, I'm going to give it to you. When you need money for every single little thing that your life costs, I'm going to give it to you. And, I mean, I think it is kind of outrageous to ask a man to pay for all those things in a world where she's not taking care of you the way those older generation women did that didn't work. I mean, a lady that didn't work, I mean, she had a whole lot of responsibilities and a whole lot of stuff that she had to take care of while you were home, when you weren't home. She had a whole bunch of different responsibilities to take care of, and I think that those people have a right to say, yo, take care of everything in my life because I'm dedicating my life to you. But let me finish my thought. In a world that we live in today, where the same way you might walk out the door at 9 o'clock in the morning, come back, you know, after 5, you know, with travel time, maybe leaving out the door at 8 o'clock, coming back home at 6 o'clock. In the world that we live in today, there's no way that me and you are going to go out to work, and then we're going to come back home, and nobody feel like cooking because we both tired, because we worked all day. There's no way in the world that I should be paying for the takeout every night when we both work. Well, I think that there should be a certain amount of balance in a relationship that's like that. But I do believe that we should all be prepared for that person that's not working. That person could pick. You know, you should be able to take up the slack for that person. I mean, the funny thing about your boy that makes me laugh is that, I mean, today he's on his feet in the barbershop. And you know, he's making money, so you get the opportunity to talk smack. But what happens when you can't do that, you know, or something, you know, the older we get, the plumbing breaks down. I mean, what happens when you gotta, you know, be out of there for 2 months or 3 months and you on your back with some kind of thing? You might be in anything, car accident, whatever the case may be. I wonder if at that point if his tune would change.
Hmm.
And and the funny part is that I think everybody needs, I mean, my personal opinion is, you know, let's stop nitpicking. You know what I'm saying? Bring whatever you got to the table. I'm going to bring whatever I got to the table, and whatever it ends up being, it is. If you want an equal relationship, you got to find somebody on your level. Stop going outside of your class. You know, maybe the $100,000 person that wants an equal relationship should be with a $100,000 person. You know, maybe they shouldn't be with a $20,000 person because you're already starting trouble. You know, because we're going to be sitting here.
But what kind of trouble would you start with, you know, it being $20,000 versus $100,000?
The matter is, how are you going to have a 50-50? How the heck are you going to have a 50-50 relationship and you making $100,000, they're making $20,000?
Well, because, here's the thing. There is no such thing as 50-50. It's $100-$100. You come in with everything, and I'm coming with everything. That's everything. This 50-50, I don't get the 50-50 ideology, because if you coming with 50% of who you are, and I'm coming with 50% of who I am, then that's not good. We already in a deficit.
But wait a minute. Here's the question. This is a quick, and this is a
Sabrina. We're talking about 100% of a relationship. I'm not going to split hairs. All right, we're talking about exactly the same thing. 100 and 100. I'm talking to you.
Okay.
You're talking to me. But you're bringing. I mean, it's hilarious. It reminds me of that Eddie Murphy thing. You know, with Eddie Murphy and Oom Foo Foo. You know, Johnny Carson and his wife. All right, now we have $300 million and $25. You know, I want half.
Well, Chris, here's the question.
The way you protect yourself is by being, if you want 100% and 100%, and you don't want to have a problem as a result of that, you either got to get with somebody who doesn't have this impression that, you know what, listen, this is my money, and even though you my girl, I can't spend it on you. You got
to
get away
so
from
saying
that.
So you're saying that to prevent problems, they, you know, seek someone out that has the same financial stability that you have.
Well, somebody who has the same character that you have. Like I said,
so character, money are two different things.
All of it is important. You can't leave any part of it out.
Oh, and you're absolutely right. All of it is important. I do agree with that. But what I do have a problem with is when anyone, whether it's women versus men or women or men versus women. I had a former colleague who became a friend of mine when I was living outside of New York about 5-6 years ago. And she said to me, "Bray, the reason why I don't have no man is because I'm not gonna accept somebody that's not making 6 digits, not driving an $80,000+ car, and doesn't own the structure that he lives in. He has to have a condo at the very least."
I said to her,
"You know what?" I said, "That may be," and I'm kind of piggybacking off of what you're saying, Chris, because my initial response to her was, "Well, you're not making 6 digits," because I was the human resource manager. I knew exactly what she made. I was like, "You're not making 6 digits. So what makes you think that, one, you should be with someone that earns that much money and has all those material things?" Even though she had a home, she didn't have an $80,000 car. She was driving a Camry, a 2005 Camry.
I agree with her 100%, for the simple fact that if that's what does it for her.
But if that's what she wants, that's cool.
Yeah, but that,
But wait a minute. Let me finish my thought, though. Let me finish my thought. This is the second thing I said to her. I said, you know, you could get this guy that's making six digits, have an $80,000+ car, and owns the structure that he lives in, and that same guy could treat you like a piece of crap. Or you could be with the, can I hear it? The nice guy that's earning about the same amount of money that you're earning, he might be renting, but maybe he's saving his money down the line to buy something, and he's driving a comparable car such as himself. I was like, would you rather be with someone that treats you with respect and who earns the same amount of money around that you do, or would you prefer to be with the six-digit guy that has all these material things, that has financial stability, but he don't have no time for you, he's not treating you very well, he's not integrating you into his life? I mean, it's great to want that, but what price are you going to have to pay for all of that?
Can I say something? Let me say something real quick. What was the answer?
Her answer was she's immovable from that. She want what she want. I said, well, good luck, because, you know, this was 2005 when the economy started taking a shift and people started losing their houses.
Okay, Let me say something real quick, y'all. Wait a minute. Let me say something about this. I think a lot of these conversations about money and equality and what you want, what I want, I think the biggest point is this. The biggest point that I see is that you just need to find, and you said it already, Chris. I think you already heard you say it, basically. What that woman wants, she got the right to want. If she's being realistic, who knows? It's her realism. That's her subjective reality. So my thing is, then you have to ask yourself, you said count the cost. I mean, the thing is this. What if she can't get a man that's making that kind of money, that does care about her, that will treat her right? Or she can get a man that makes $20,000 a year. She can get a man that makes $20,000 a year and shoot it like trash. The point is, you're going to have to do your due diligence. You're going to have to be clear about what you think this will give you and what you will get from that. If you believe that it's just going to get you financial security and that's what you feel you're cool with, then fine. If you think that can get you financial security and some emotional input and some sexual input and some care, then you got to find out, will this guy measure up to that? Because he may not. But the bottom line is this. Everybody got the right to want what they want. Ain't nothing wrong with that. 20,000 versus 100,000.
Absolutely.
You know, it is what it is. I mean, I don't know. Because as soon as we start opening our mouths talking about the matches of money, we're going to find somebody out there that did make 20 and got with 100 person and they still together. And we're going to find somebody that didn't work that way. And then we'll find 20,000 people that got together that it didn't work. And then, we can keep on because the money is important. But it's a whole lot.
Money is important to those who money is important to.
Well,
you know, everyone doesn't view money the same way.
Let's look at the other concept about men. I don't know anybody. I've been seeing it. It comes on TV quite a bit. Men that don't really want women to make more than they do, so then they get inferiority complexes and stuff like that. What about that piece? So definitely he's going to look for a woman that is not financially at his level.
All of it.
If he's insecure, what about that piece?
I'm too young for this girl. That's an old idea.
As a rule. Yeah, but the thing is, here's the thing.
I thought we were just discussing matters.
But let me tell you how you get to the 2%. Because what happens with the 2% is, it's kind of like the 1%. If you put the image out there enough, it colors the thinking. So if you don't got to have a whole bunch of people doing it, you got to get a perception that it's a popular thing to do. And then you're going to have a whole other generation of people, women or men, that start buying into the concept. Think about it. Fashion is a good example. You can have two or three guys wear a certain type of shirt or a certain type of medallion, depending on who they are, and before you know it, you got thousands of folks running around with it on. And that's why people talk about it's the danger of the basketball wife syndrome or anything else that we sell, because we start to create a generation that buys into certain things because of the access they have to the media outlets and the various other venues. So I think that's what I say, that 2% is powerful. That's a powerful 2%.
It sure 2% is. 2% runs the world.
1%
runs the world.
Okay, Chris,
all of these problems that people have is the reason why marriage is in the minority today. Because people are concentrating on what the problems are instead of concentrating on what the positive notions are.
The problem with marriage being in a toilet is communication. Nobody knows how to talk to each other.
On every show.
Always communication. It's because you got people making millions of dollars and they still getting divorced. It's a communication. Nobody wants to listen to one another. Everybody wants to be the boss. That's the reason. It really ain't money. It's talking. How can you talk to me? How can we sit down and work this through with words?
Here's
the thing, and I say this all the time. I'm saying it again. I was talking about this about 1 o'clock in the morning today with a friend of mine, and it all goes back to the very beginning of what happens at the beginning of the relationship and the signs that we tend to ignore, because it's not hard to know whether or not you are in the presence of a person that has the capacity to communicate what he's feeling, what she's feeling, what they thinking. And when you're paying attention and you can see, well, if there's something on your mind and you express it, you have to sometimes dig to, you know, and prod and provoke to get a response, you know, or a person if you've done something to maybe insult, or if there's a miscommunication, misunderstanding, a person is internalizing it. They not talking about stuff, and you continue to do things to irritate them, and you don't know it. Then one day they blow up on you, and you're like, "What the hell is wrong with this?" You know what?
Exactly.
What? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, "Well, whoa," and you're like, "Well, if this is how you felt, why didn't you tell me that 2 years ago?" When I did it the first time.
I didn't know how to talk about it, and so
what I say to that is that's their fault.
They blow up on you, and then you be, anyway, they blow up on you.
So hold on, because we're going to bring in another caller, and I believe this is one of the callers that was trying to get on the line last night. So I definitely want to acknowledge this person. Peace and blessings. You've reached Bree Life Radio. I'm your host, Bree. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking with tonight? Hello? Hello?
No,
okay, we're going to let that caller get their technology together.
Hey, Bree,
and continue
no communication.
On. Okay, so that my point is that the signs are all around us. And they're glaring signs. They're yield signs. You got the stop sign. You got the red, yellow, and green sign. And nobody wants to pay attention to that. Right. When I start to see the signs, you know what? If there's something that I think I need more dialogue about, more clarity for, I'm going to say, you know what? When you said such and such, I didn't really get it. What did you mean? Could you be a bit more granular? Because I don't want to walk away having an attitude because I misunderstood you. And that's all it takes, just asking for more clarity. Or if you said something that I didn't particularly like, and here's the thing with communication too, Gail. Mm-hmm. We can communicate with a person, and sometimes they don't like the fact that we communicate. They don't like the fact that we're telling them how we feel.
That too, or they want to be selective. They only want to hear what they heard, and they didn't hear the rest. But that's where the breakdown goes. It's like, or somebody will walk away saying, whatever. What does that mean? Like,
I want to tell y'all something. The big thing about all of that is this, is that at a certain point, communication has to be wanted to happen. You got to want it to happen. See, because if you want it to happen, see, the issue is this. A lot of times when a person is not getting what they want, and the first time they don't get it, it's enough for them. They really are done, but they don't know how to say they're done because they saw enough. So what they do is they let their communication style is passive-aggressive. Because remember, it's always, it ain't no such thing as no communication. It's always communication. Communication is
verbal,
it's the quality of communication. It's the quality of communication.
Okay,
meaning,
we'll put quality in there.
I was a communication major, and the thing about it is we used the communication model. You had the sender, the receiver, and in the middle there was noise. The whole object of the sender and the receiver is this. The sender wants to get the desired response. So if I say hello and I want you to say what's up, if I say hello and you say, who are you talking to? That's not the desired response, which means there was some noise in the channel. So the whole object of is to clear up the noise that's in the channel. To clear up the noise that's in the channel. So, anyway.
Yeah, quality could go in there then. I'd say quality. You can put quality in there. That'd be a good one.
What say you, Chris?
Well, I just believe that these people need to stop being so immature and grow up. The fact of the matter is, the reason why you let all these things slip, these ideas and these questions and answers slip through your fingers is because you done already decided on this person because of something that you saw or something that you heard because that's how you're able to skip over it. That's how you're able
right.
to skip over that whole point in the relationship because this person got curly hair. Or this person got brown skin, and your relationship has never grown up since you were 15 years old, where all you had to do was like somebody, and then
your communication style hasn't grown up.
Yeah.
You did.
The big problem is that you're trying to fit this person instead of holding off and not making a decision in terms of this person until you get all the questions and answers that's going to make you comfortable. Instead of
right.
doing that, what you're doing is finding a good excuse to be with the person.
Right.
The flip side of that, the mold,
like you said, you make them fit. You make them fit because, in your mind, see, here's a reason too. People stay with each other for a lot of stuff, different reasons. So you got to remember, at a certain point, sometimes I don't feel like going out there and being bothered with the search. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. So I try to go ahead and make this guy or this girl be who I want to be. But then the only problem is my lack of acceptance just delays the blow up. It just delays the blow up. It's going to come to an end.
It delays the blow up. It delays the infidelity. It delays the. It delays a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Then when it does blow up,
delay.
It is catastrophic.
I don't understand what happened. How did that happen? I can't believe that. How long would you feel like this? And then somebody will tell you something like this. You know what? I left you a year and a half ago. I'm just coming to the point of telling you now.
Oh.
So now you could be in a situation where you found out this person had been left you emotionally, but they were able to keep
something similar. So here's what I say. I say you give a person your worst first. How's about that? Because if you give a person your worst first,
well,
then
sometimes
you can know who you're working with. Because a real person is going to be like, oh, it's all that? Okay. So now what are we going to have for lunch? That's right, the disclosure.
The disclosure.
Because if you give a person your worst first, you don't have to spend 90 days or 180 days in. You can spend a couple of weeks.
You know what, Bree? The worst first stuff. I mean, I hear what you said. I just say give people all of you. Give them all of you. Not your worst. The worst first. Come on. Give me your worst first. You want to run? You want them to run? Okay, that's what you're saying. Run. I don't want no worse. I want to know that you're managing your emotions. I don't mean that you're capable.
You don't want to know if a person is managing them. You want to know if a person is going to be responsible for them.
That's managing. That's managing. That's managing your emotions.
You want to know if they're going to be responsible for their emotions, regardless if you provoking something or not.
Provoking? Okay, I'm feeling what I'm feeling, meaning you're feeling what you're feeling about whatever you're feeling about what you're feeling. So now you don't run around and just not be responsible for the fact that you're upset and you don't want to tell me what you're upset about. And you got mad at me. I'll give you a good example. We laying in the bed together. You say, Mark, it's cold in here. I said, okay, fine. You don't tell me that you want either a blanket, B, need to cut the air conditioner down, or turn the heat up. You don't say that. You just say, it's cold in here. All right, fine. I go to sleep. I wake up in the morning. You're mad at me because you said you didn't care about me, because if you cared about me, you would have asked me what I want you to do. All right, so you couldn't have been responsible enough to say, Mark, could you get a blanket for me? Could you cut the air conditioner down? Is it too cold for you? It is for me, so is it possible you couldn't?
This is where we can segue into something that is discussed a lot, but not really, I don't think either side of the table are really listening to one another, and that is expectations. Let's talk, let's freestyle about expectations.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to start with Chris.
Hi, Bree.
I'm going to start with Chris.
What do you think about
expectations?
Hope for the best, expect the worst.
Oh, Lord.
Run, you said.
Hope for the best, expect the worst. I mean, the fact of the matter is that you have to come to grips. Forget about expectations. You got to deal with reality, okay? You got to ask that person. I mean, the person that you presented yourself to be, I mean, we're going to have conversation to see whether or not how close you are to who you presenting yourself to be, okay?
Mm.
I mean, if you rented the dress, I want to know it. these people.
Why do you want to know if a person rented a dress?
Because I want to know where you at. I want to know who you are. There's a big difference between a person that puts a tag in a $100 dress, tucks the tags away, and a person that got 25 of them in a closet just waiting to meet somebody to go out. You know, it's a big difference between that person. And the fact is that you need to know. I need to know who you are. You need to know if this is my car, or if this is my cousin's car and I borrowed it for the night. You need to know those things, and I need to know those things, so we all know who we really are, because you know doggone well that we live in America. Everything here is a bootleg version of everything that's real. I need to know which side of the fence you on. I need to know what you into. You know, I met a girl the other day that just spent $3,000 on a pocketbook, okay? and we
must
in the middle
be nice.
Of a recession. And we're in the middle of a recession. You know?
Well,
be nice.
You know what? You asked about expectation. You asked about expectation. Yeah, and you know what? This is what I say. I say expect of yourself, accept who they are. Expect of yourself, accept who they are. I ain't expecting nothing. I know what I want. And what I want is going to be what I want. And you, and then you present yourself. And I know what I want. I'm not expecting you to do nothing but be you. And every time you're you, that's giving me more of an idea of what I'm going to be with you. Because I don't have no expectations of you other than for you to be you. If you're telling me being you, how long? Do you know you? Do you know you?
I expect,
because one thing about
expectations
is this, too. Whenever you
what
have
do you
expectation, though,
what do you expect
from me? The only thing I expect is for you to tell the truth when I ask you the stuff I need to ask you.
Well, I don't even worry about that too much because the reality is that we don't come out in the wash or come out in the rinse anyway because that's how life is. But what I will tell you is this. My expectation is an issue that I have to temper with the understanding that the only thing I can control is really what I do. So that's the expectation that I will look at. Now, it'll be nice if you do certain things, but I ain't going to worry about you expecting that. All I can do is be prepared to deal with what you do present. And if
okay,
I can be
so
prepared to deal
in the beginning, in the beginning of a relationship, do you feel, because this is a part of disclosure, of course, that it's important that a person shares their expectations? Or do you think it's premature because enough discovery has not taken place, because enough time maybe may not have elapsed, that one should maybe taper on telling their expectations? I'm directing this question right now to Turtle.
For me, I'm not disclosing anything. I'm not a talker, number one. I don't disclose nothing. I'm going to sit and listen. I'm going to let you do all the talking, and I'm going to see what's cracking with you. And then I'm going to decide if I even want to disclose anything to you at all, period.
Uh-huh.
I might disclose some, you know, on the surface stuff, you know, that small talk stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I usually resolve. I'm pretty much a problem solver, and I can pretty much do a lot of things on my own. I'm a loner on top of that. So, therefore, I'm just going to listen. And then I will decide, okay, is this the person that I want to be in my life? If so, then we can start talking from there. And it will build slowly. But you ain't getting it all up front. I don't know how to do that.
Well,
okay, but pause. I'm going to put you on pause for right now, Gail. And I'm going to ask Chris. What do you think about what Gail just said? If you met Gail and Gail was not really disclosing a whole lot, because see, I know you, Chris. You're gonna ask very specific questions, and you want a timely response, and you want the response to be seamless. For there to be some directness about it, because then that means that the person is dealing from a place of truth. Because when you don't have to think about the answer, you know that it's coming just through the person. So how would you feel about a person such as Gail not really disclosing a whole lot?
I mean, she better be fine as all.
She better be a distraction. She better be a distraction. Let's keep doing there.
Hey, I know how to distract your mind with conversations. Now I do know how to do that. You still walk away. You'll still walk away not knowing nothing about
me. Oh, wait. Here's something that I also want to say. We have a caller calling. We have someone on the line trying to get on air. He was on air last night talking about Mr. Nice Guy. He happens to be the provoker of the opposites attracting issue. So for the listeners who sent me emails, text messages, who also talked to Mark in Houston, Texas about the opposite attracting thing and the Mr. Nice Guy thing, we have Alex from Virginia calling in. And let's see what Brother Alex has to say with probably what he's been listening to thus far on the freestyle.
What's up, Bree?
Alex.
What's up, baby?
Listen, there's some women that is mad as hell at you. You still, I don't know what you did last night on the air, but we have a few women that have really, you know, they have expressed a dismay with you, brother.
Yeah, I got a woman told me, Alex, she said, this is what she told me. She sent me a message. She said, who is this Alex? I want to strangle him. I'm like, wow. I mean, that's kind of an emotional response to a guy you don't know.
Yeah, did that. I'm like, well, what you mad at me for? I'm a nice guy.
What are you doing, bro? What you doing?
Listen, before we bring Alex into the conversation, I just want Chris to finish his thought. What do you feel? What would you think about Gail not doing a whole lot of disclosure? And what would you feel about that? And what would you do?
Basically, I'm a conversationalist, so I mean, it probably wouldn't work with me because I'm asking questions of pertinence straight out the gate. I mean, when I see a female, I don't care how good she looks, I'm automatically asking myself because I know that, you know, there's so many beautiful women in the world that I'm asking myself from the gate. Like, I wonder if she got something to go with that. I wonder if she,
Chris, give us a sample question. Give us a sample question that you would ask Gail.
He acts like he got an application that he needs filled out. What is the question you're asking all these women? And they might not even like you like that, so they're not going to answer your questions.
Let
him
give you the sample questions.
We can all sing together, but we can't talk at the same time. So
if the woman ain't digging you, she's not going to answer these questions.
Let's hear
three questions, Chris, that you would ask.
Come on, Chris.
Do you work?
Do you work?
How many babies do you got?
She said two more.
Number one. I didn't hear number two.
Are you in a relationship of any type with anybody?
Okay, that's two.
Are you interested in being in a relationship with someone at this time?
Those are three good questions. What would you answer those questions?
Uh-oh, Turtle. She gone? Is Turtle gone?
I think Turtle's gone. She coming back, though. So, okay, Alex.
She would avoid answering the question. She going to disappear.
When Turtle returns, she'll answer that question. But Alex.
Yep. What's up, baby?
I'm telling you, you got people upset.
Hey, Bree, one of my man questions should have been, how many baby daddies you got?
No, that shouldn't have been one of the questions. That's not a nice guy question.
It depends on how old she is, because hopefully if she's 50 years old, she ain't got daddies or babies she's worried about.
Oh, brother. So, Mark.
Oh, boy.
Please share with Alex what happened with this with one of your Facebook friends and the dismay that she had with Alex and what he had to say last night.
Wow.
Is Mark on?
Mark?
I think Mark is gone. Okay, wait a minute. Is that Turtle?
Yeah, he must have clicked over.
Okay, so could you answer Chris's question, Turtle? Would you answer those three questions?
Mm-mm. Not when I first meet him. I'm not answering none of them questions. There's one of them I might answer. If I look at him and decide, he ain't my type, I'm in a relationship. Yep, so stop talking to me.
Okay, let's assume that Chris would be someone that you'd be attracted to. Those are three typical questions that people usually ask one another within the first 2 or 3
days.
Yeah,
first hour or whatever, day or so. Or they usually say, what type of work do you do? They don't say, do you work? Like, do you work? They be like, what type of work do you do? They don't be like, do you work?
Chris, I need you to chime in anytime you want to. What do you feel about that?
I mean, the fact is that I'm just wondering, I mean, what are we doing on our first date if we're not trying to get to know each other? I mean, I don't know what we're doing. I mean, what are we talking about, the weather? Am I supposed to spend 2 hours talking about your hairdo? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well,
I thought you
said when you first meet, so now this is a date.
The fact of the matter is...
A date or when you first meet a woman?
When we first meet, me and you... if I meet you and we start talking, what are we going to talk about?
I'm just talking about politics or things going on in the community. I'm not going to really get personal or nothing like that.
Maybe it's a little different down where you live, but the fact is
we do a lot different. This is just me. I'm different.
We do a lot of networking in New York, and people leave conversations with what they do because they're interested in swapping business cards and so on and so forth.
Hey, so you got a job?
Do you work? Do you work? Like,
what kind of work do you do?
I mean, we can have as much fun as we want with the semantics, but the fact of
this is the New York culture, so that kind of opened up that opened up some information for me. So if this is a New York culture, then this is good for me to know. So go ahead.
This is what we call in New York networking. What line of business are you in?
But if you had a networking function, because we have networking functions in Houston and we have them in Minneapolis and in Chicago and all those cities I've lived in, you have networking, but you understand, for instance, that NBAs used to have on the first Friday of each month, they would have an NBA happy hour. Well, you knew it was an NBA happy hour, so you knew it was a networking function. So therefore, the people that came there with the express understanding that we're networking. Every function is not a networking function. So if you meet a woman at a networking function, that's one thing. Yeah, I'm sitting at the pizzeria and you meet the woman. I don't know. You might talk about pepperoni. It really depends on the environment and how comfortable you are with sharing certain information and depending on the environment. So, you know, that's what I would say.
Okay, let me jump in here. And I'm a single woman. I'm going to tell you typically what happens when I go out.
Okay.
And I think Chris can relate to this because, you know, I don't know more so if it's a geographical thing, cultural thing, but let's just go with this right now. Let's say I went to a place in Prospect Heights that Chris and I, we have had brunch at times, right, Chris? Okay.
What kind of area is that? Help the nation out. What kind of area is Prospect Heights? I don't know nothing about that.
I'm sorry?
We don't know nothing about Prospect Heights outside of, you know, so tell us about Prospect Heights.
It's in Brooklyn. It's a very eclectic neighborhood, very integrated. And on Thursdays and Fridays is usually the place to be after work.
Okay.
So I go there on a Friday night, usually around 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening. I walk in, and there's some regulars there that I know, and there's some new faces. I go to the bar. I order my white wine spritzer. I make my rounds and say hi to people that I know. And I say hello to people that I don't know because I'm a very sociable person. So might be standing around. Maybe an hour or two later, the bartender will say, "Bree, that gentleman over there, he sent you this drink." And I'll say, "Oh, well, okay, thank you." And the person will walk up to me, and he'll introduce himself, and he'll say, "What is your name?" And I'll say what my name is, and we'll start talking. And he'll ask me, "Am I from the area?"
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell him what area I'm from. I might ask him, or he may ask me, depending on where we are in the conversation, "What do you do for a living?" Do you have children? Are you married?
Okay.
Depending on my responses, that's how the questions will elevate.
Can I say
usually
something?
If I allude to the fact that I'm single, no, I'm not in a relationship, more often the person will say, "Well, that's unbelievable. Why wouldn't a nice lady like you be in a relationship? And maybe what could we do about that?" You know, just to be funny and to keep the conversation lively. That's typically what happens in a first encounter. Now, am I far from the left or the right, Chris?
No, you're exactly right. And like I said, it's not. It doesn't come out. I mean, for expediency's sake, I mean, I said it as clearly as possible, but it doesn't come out like that. It comes out over time. It comes out in a real nice way, in a real sweet way, and nobody's under fire. Nobody pulls out a 9mm. I mean, the fact of the matter is, when you're talking about somebody that you're attracted to. If you're attracted to the person, the person's attracted to you. I mean, you're not going to be sitting there like, "You know what, I'm just not going to say nothing to this person." I mean, like I said, I have no idea if you're going to sit there and talk about nothing and then talk about nothing, at what point do you talk about, something?
Okay, but here's the thing. The thing is, in conversation and communication, it's always about the energy usually anyway and how you feel what's going on. And you sense what you sense. You kind of feel. You can throw your little filler questions out. Like, you know, "Hey, it's a nice thing. You come around here more often. I've never seen you around." Any number of things you may ask. And I think when you say what you said to Gil, at least my impression was when you said it to her, was basically, you know, a rapid fire, boom, 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 boom. It's an understandable thing that if we're sitting there for an hour or 30 minutes or 20 minutes and we're just conversing back and forth, there might be some information given. Some people are more guarded with their information. I mean, I don't know you that well, so I don't really talk about my children. I might not talk about my children when I just first knew you. So I may not want to answer that question. Or I might want to tell you I got 20 kids.
Well, moving right along, Alex, you've been very patient. Tonight
is
Freestyle Thursdays, and I want to know what your freestyle is.
Well, I'm interested to know what was said on Mark's page as pursuant to what I said last night. I'm interested to know that. Not sure if Mark is on the line still, is he?
Yes, he is.
I'm still here. No, well, basically, she didn't really tell me. I don't know, because I just was laughing because I know that I don't know you, but I just experienced your personality, and you don't really mince your words, and you say direct, so I'm assuming, because I didn't query her as to what her issue was with you. She said, I could just strangle him. What is he talking about? What is he talking about? And I was like, well, I mean, I didn't get it to this morning, so I had to really think about what are you, I had to look
well,
at the
I'll
time
tell you from some of the emails that I got, one of the things people didn't particularly care for the fact that you said to me, well, are you going to be by yourself forever? It was like, well, what did he mean by that?
What could he mean by that? Are you going to by yourself forever?
And then also, they was like that opposites attract thing. They felt that, you know, I was dead right. I heard this both from men and women.
Well, you know what?
Think they
took
Mark
it,
is a bud. They think Mark is crazy.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Hey, believe 100% of what you think.
Okay. So there you are, Alex.
But Bree, they took it way out of context what I meant by you being by yourself. I said opposites attract. And you don't want to be with someone opposite. Maybe you want to be with someone just like you.
No,
that's
I don't want. And then when I went on to say that I don't want to be
like
with someone exactly like myself, but I want to be with a like-minded individual.
Yeah, I got that part.
That's when you know, Mark from Houston, Texas,
hey,
went on his tangent.
Well, can I ask you this, Bree?
You can ask me anything.
Okay, I want to ask you this. It's very important, okay?
Yeah.
And it may get him angry at me again. I don't know. But I want to make about 7 points here, okay? We were just talking about expectations and things of that nature, okay? It's hard to understand what to expect from a woman because you're always changing your mind. You change the rules every other day. And I'm going to give you an example of that, okay? Y'all say what you want. But do you really want it? And here are the examples. I want to take charge kind of guy. That's the kind of guy I like. They get mad and go, he's trying to control me. You say you want the strong, silent type. You say you're strong, silent type. They get mad because he don't want to talk to you all the time. Okay? You say you want a guy with a sense of humor. They get mad at him, tell him why he play too much. Okay? You want a guy that's a hard worker. You want a guy that's a hard worker. And they get mad because you're never home because you're always working. Y'all don't know what you want.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Let's be real about it.
Alex, they don't know what they want. They want what they want in the moment that they want it in. So that means that you have to be fluid, and it's a moving target. It's a moving target.
And men want the same
thing.
If we want it, listen, if we want what we want when we want it, then men want it 20 times more because there are 20 women to every single man. So when I'm standing in front of that boy asking him to love me, and there are 19 women that are walking past the boy that I'm asking to love me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that our fault, Bree?
Yes.
Is that a man's fault?
Yes.
You better
is it a woman's fault that she don't know what she wants, but when she get it, then she don't want it, then she wants something else? Or is it that a woman's fault?
That's how she wants.
What?
That's how she
no,
wants.
Because you know why? Men think, some men, let me be clear, because I don't like when I'm put in a pot that I know I don't belong in. Some men, feel that single women should be thankful for the fact that they have decided to court us because they know what the ratio is.
Mm.
That's not
they
our
know,
course,
but some men feel that, yeah, I'm a commodity. She going to have to put up with my tackleness.
But he is a commodity. Based upon what you just said, if the numbers are, if there's a disparity that you said,
and I'm
a
commodity,
I'm not saying you're not. I'm not saying you're not, but you, the way you just described it, he is a commodity. If the numbers are like that,
and
yeah, if the numbers are like that, yes, and they are.
I'm not saying.
Listen, for a brother that moves around as much as you do, You really shouldn't be saying
who,
nothing.
Who are you talking to? See, now you're doing the same thing
Alex
did to you, so don't do that
to me. Hold on now. For a brother that don't take no emotional responsibility for somebody else's feelings that he may be provoking.
Look, let me tell you something.
And
I'm
moving
around. I'm looking. I want to find. I need to find that thing. I need to find that thing.
Yeah, okay.
Remember, I'm a man. You don't understand something about me, Bree. I'm a man. If you look at my history of knowing me, you would know this, that I am a faithful dude. I stay with one person for as long as I can until they kick me away. Remember they kick me
away? Until they what?
Until they kick me off their truck.
They kick
you off the truck? Tell the pendulum swings and they decide they don't want the nice guy no more.
They pop me. That's okay. I ain't got a problem. I just fly in the air, and eventually I go to another goalpost. But I'm just saying.
Ah!
I'm all good.
So to Alex, you can make all these points that you want, but what about the men that are indecisive about what they want from women?
Let me tell you,
we're not going to come a hundred. You're not going to come a hundred with 100% of everything that I want, and I'm not coming with 100% of everything that you want. But if a person comes with 75%, 85%, don't you think that's something that you should consider and give that person the focus and the attention? So that you can really do a fair discovery of whether or not it's actually 85%, or could it just be looking like 85%, but it's actually 20%? Or maybe it's looking like 85%, or maybe it's looking like 50%, but it may be 92%.
You need time to discover.
You need an opportunity to discover without there being distraction.
What's that crunching? Whoever's making that noise.
Like that distraction.
Yeah.
It was me.
Oh.
I had to put the sun down for the snow that's going to turn to ice. Sorry, y'all.
All of you was calling to leave.
No, it's still snow. It starts snowing here.
Oh, okay.
There is another caller on the line who I know for a fact wasn't able to get online yesterday, and I definitely want to bring him on. Not sure what his name is, but I do know he's also a Houston, Texas resident. So without further ado.
Houston, Texas.
Hello. Peace and blessings. This is your host, Bree. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show, and tonight is Freestyle Thursdays. What's your freestyle?
I'm going to get back on the same shit y'all was on here. Can I curse right quick? Just get my two curse words out of the way. Women have no idea what they want.
You want to get your two curse words out the way. Okay.
Hey, y'all, that's my barber.
You're going to get the show took off the air.
Pardon me?
Okay,
Okay, this is Martin the Barber. Listen, women have no idea what they want, in my opinion. That's my freestyle. I don't believe that y'all have a direct. I think that y'all kind of just go with whatever's fly. You know what I mean? Whatever y'all see on TV currently, you know what I mean? If it's a soap opera, then it's that.
That's degrading.
If it's Real Housewives of
that's
this or
that. That's a degrading
that,
statement.
It's not necessarily degrading. We all airheads walking around, and I'm not saying everyone, but if the shoe fits, get mad. Now where are you from, darling?
Doesn't matter, but go ahead with your point. Since you ain't saying all, we good. As long as you ain't saying all, we good, brother.
Well,
right.
I didn't even say your name, though. I didn't even know your name.
I'm Kale from Minnesota.
Yeah,
better known as Turtle.
Anyway, I was just sharing with you my opinions and so forth about certain situations that we're talking about anyway. You know what I mean? I didn't mean to ruffle anybody's feathers, you know what I mean? Or maybe I did. But hey, at Bree. The same time.
Hey, Bree.
Are you the brother that stated that you're not going to take care of a woman? That you want are you going to take care of yourself and let the woman take care of herself?
No, that wasn't me.
Are you that brother?
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't him, Mark?
It was the other guy in the barbershop.
Oh, okay. We'd be nice.
Well, we waiting for that brother to come on the line. You should text him.
You know what?
Hey,
it's crazy.
But Martin, can I ask Martin something? Can I ask him something? I want to ask Martin. So Alex kind of said the same thing that Martin said when he said that women don't know what they want and they shift
exactly.
And they move. Women, and they move. And they move.
Well, you have two women on the line right now.
Right. Well, okay, let me say this. About the women, I love the women that are on the line. I think y'all are beautiful women, but I will tell you this. Women change their mind much more frequently than I have ever seen a brother change their mind. Matter of fact, a lot of times, brothers have a problem because they don't change their mind. They're pretty stuck in the sometimes they be stuck in the mud. Well, woman, you got to come in the house to find out how she feels today because she may be in any damn place, and some of it got to do with hormones, and some of it got to do with wiring, and it's a whole bunch of information out there that would suggest I am not just making this stuff up.
You're not.
It's a wiring thing.
And I'm agreeing with you. Women, we are like that. So what's wrong with it?
What's wrong with it? Why would you expect me to understand or figure out what to do with you? That's what I'm saying.
What do you expect you to figure out what to do with us? Nobody. What are you talking about? We expect you to figure out what to do with us. What are you talking about?
I'm not making excuses
for any man. I'm not making any excuses for any woman. Listen, there's nothing wrong with who you are. Be who you are. But I'm just saying, I'm just sharing with you my opinion. This is no disrespect to any woman, you know what I mean? Let me say that. You know what I mean? Any of the ladies on the line, you know what I mean? This is just my opinion and my experiences, you know what I mean? I got a good deal right now. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I don't have...
yeah, I'm just putting that out there. But she made me
I love it. I just feel that way because, like I say, you know, women sometimes are blown by every wind of doctrine, you know what I mean, that comes their way, you know what I mean? Sometimes anything that's presented in front of them that becomes fashionable, that their friend won't, it becomes like a handbag, you know what I mean, whether it becomes a lifestyle.
So you're sort of aligning with a comment that was made last night by Rich from Brooklyn. He alluded to the fact that, you know, all women follow behind Oprah. And I don't believe that's not true. I mean, I do think that her show was successful for 25 years because, yes, she did have she did appeal to a lot of women. And, yes, she appealed to women across all ethnicities. But the fact of the matter is that you still have to have your own mind. You still have to be living within reality. You know, Oprah's existence and my existence are far removed from one another. I'm not a billionaire. And I certainly haven't lived with a man for 30 years. You know? So, you know, I'm not following behind Oprah. And to say, and in my opinion, to say that, you know, all women are looking at the basketball wise and trying to emulate what they see on TV. If you were a Facebook member and were following my page, about 6 months ago, I made a comment about how disappointed I was watching Basketball Wives, being a woman of color, because these women have such an enormous opportunity to invoke, you know, an influence over young women who are watching the show. And all they see is these women carrying on, being disrespectful, and the fashion being the most important moral of the show.
It's a business, Bree. That's good for ratings.
Okay, and coming from a producer, I understand where you're coming from.
That's it.
But,
I know the deal.
But
okay.
Here's the thing. I do feel like, you know, we have a responsibility when we're in positions of mass communication to invoke some positivity into what we're trying to, the messages that we're trying to send out there, because our children are watching us, and other
okay,
people's
Bree,
children
talking,
are watching us and listening.
Martin, when you were talking, when the brother, when
well,
the brother
you know,
said,
well, you know, I'm not down with martyrdom, but I do feel a sense of responsibility.
No, this is what I'm asking you, because you were talking about the guy from Crown Heights that called yesterday, and Martin, and you were talking about how they similarly are saying, Martin the Barber from Houston, and they're similarly saying some same thing about the tendency for women to follow. Now, remember this. When you think about fashion. Fashion is a good example of how we do know there's a lot that quickly catches a woman's attention, and she's willing to change up her style very quickly, very quickly, very quickly, based upon following trends. Matter of fact, retailers make so much money off of women. Matter of fact, they'll tell you they spend a lot of money targeting not men, women, because women do fly quickly, 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 quickly. They keep the economy rolling when it comes to the retail sector. So it's some credence to the fact that women do move based upon a lot of the trends that are going on. So maybe not basketball wise, maybe not basketball wise, but maybe basketball wise. Because guess what? I've had the opportunity to sit and watch some people in there, and I've had conversations with young ladies. Women. I'm talking about women in my age group. Would say, "Girl, I don't blame her. Shoot, if I can get a man to take care of me, I would too." And I've heard that so many times in 40 and up age group. If I can get a man to take care of me, I would.
Okay. With that in mind, I'm going to bring on another caller. Hold on, please.
Can I insert something?
Peace and blessings. You've reached Bree Life Radio. I'm your host, Bree. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking with tonight?
This is Martin the Barber. Martin the Barber. I would like to insert something. I would like to say that I don't believe that there's anything wrong. Relationships are businesses. There are agreements. They are what you can tolerate. There is no perfect woman for you. There is no perfect man for you. There is a tolerance. You know what I mean? It is what you are willing to accept. You know what I mean? You have to be able to accept each other's differences, you know what I mean, in order to have, like, a good business deal go down. You know what I mean? And as long as your company feels like it's comfortable doing business with whatever your lady or your significant other that you're dealing with at any particular time, then that's just what it is. You know, you don't have to look for perfection. You know what I mean? But you know, because you'll make mistakes also. You know what I mean? And he'll make mistakes. You know, but if you're gonna sit there and judge every man, you know what I mean, by his nature and by his character, you know what I mean, and by his will, you know what I mean, to do or to not do, and every woman by you know her virtues and more. In my opinion, women are the new player in this society, you know, because the roles have reversed. Things that my mom taught, you know, my sisters have not been taught to generations past, you know what I'm saying? They haven't been taught to cook. Mama didn't put them in the kitchen and say, here, whip this up this way, do this here, you know, make him cook this way. You know what I mean? They're listening to the music. They're being raised by these remote parenting devices, you know what I mean, called television, that one-eyed monster, you know what I mean, that's dictating more or less the mindset, you know what I mean, of the generations that are coming up behind us, you know what I mean? So I've been out there in relationships, and you know, I've been single for a long time also, but I've been in relationships for a long time. But being in a relationship for a long time and being separated from that relationship and then getting back out there on the club scene and, you know, partying and doing, I'm noticing that it's way, way too easy to get some coochie now, excuse my language, you know. It's way too easy to now. You know, but back 15 years ago when I was going to club and I was out there and I was sick and I was getting drunk and I was buying drinks the same way I'm doing now, you know what I mean? But it was very hard, you know what I mean? But I'm just finding that the difficulty level has changed because I think that, you know, some of these things, you know what I mean, we've dropped the ball and there's so many elements in society, you know what I mean, and so many influences that they're desensitized, you know what I mean? they're desensitized by the liberal media and so much that's going on outside of you know, these bubbles that we call our lives.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right.
Can I ask Mark a question? Because to add something to what Mark you said about women being wanting to take care of by men, but you act like there's no substance involved in those relationships. I don't think a woman just going to go and grab any man that could take care of her.
I'm saying that there's no perfect relationship. You have to find somebody that you can accept whatever differences y'all have between them and do business. I'm saying there's no purpose.
Do business?
Oh, yeah, we got your point. But I was talking about the other Mark because he ended by saying that there's women who want to be taken care of by men, but then you act like there's no substance to that relationship.
No, what I'm saying is
even if that's what
she
wants out of her man, there has to be some kind of connection and substance. She's not just going to go find any old body. Is that what you're saying?
No, what happens is this is a result. This was a result. The women that I heard say this recently, this is a result of them feeling that they didn't get equal participation from their former mates. So now, the way they're living now, they say, I helped out or I took care of this man for X amount of time in my mind. And like Martin said, it is an agreement, how much your tolerance, whatever, but in their mind, it wasn't that agreement because they said they didn't sign up for some of the things that they got. So therefore, now, when they're embarking upon their new searches or their new involvement, they're saying they're looking for somebody to take care of them because as a result of their past
but are you saying that she's still looking for somebody that has no, she's going to go grab any man with a lot of money and there's going to be no kind of feelings for him whatsoever?
Here's the thing. One thing about going after money is that you always have to deal with the fact of what that money may mean, because it could be lack of affection when you get to that money. He may be unbelievably
Hold on. I want to speak to the brother that just got on the line. He just said in the background, I don't know if anyone heard him, he said, it's a business. I want that brother to speak right now and to give us his insight as what is the business of a relationship. What do you define this business as being?
The business of relationship is a calculated amalgamation. It is the merging of two corporations. It is a man saying to a woman, you know what I mean, which naturally, so I don't know if, you know, there's any, you know, whatever, homosexual or anything like that on the line, but I'm saying that it's a business, you know what I mean? Like, there is an agreement there, you know what I mean? There was something that sat down and said that for better or for worse, that this is going to go down. I made this promise to you. I'm saying I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to stand on my role. You know what I mean? I'm going to take this part of the relationship. This is what I'm going to render unto you, you know what I mean? And then I, at the same time, agree that this is what I can deal with from her. I sat down, and she gave me everything, all of the necessary information for me to make a conscious decision. You know what I mean? Whether I want to be with her or not, you know, and we made that agreement, just like businesses do, just like corporations do. If you go down to the courthouse, your names are in capital letters. You know what I mean? Martin, the barber, versus, I mean, and our names are just like corporations are listed. You know what I mean? That is a business. No matter what way you look at it, your money, your finances, your everything goes into that relationship. You know what I mean? It is a business. You know, so once you find people that want to do business outside of the amalgamation that you have, you know what I mean, that merger that you've already made, then there's the breach of contract. You know, so that's why I say it's a business, not as a disrespect though, but at the same time, you know, countries get in bed with oil companies. And they do business for life, and sometimes wars happen and people die.
Okay. So, Alex.
Yes.
What do you think about what the brother and you, is your name Mark also?
Martin.
No, Martin.
Martin the barber. Is that right?
Yeah, but if you say it here kind of with a southern drawl, yeah, it kind of sounds like Mark.
Oh, okay. All right.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, brother.
What do you think about that? Especially Alex has, both Alex and his wife, they have a show called Relationship Extra, where it's my understanding it's not a live audience, but you take email questions and you base a show around the theme of the question. So, you know, just in your experience, Alex, have you ever done any shows that have talked about the theme of a merger between men and women, and what do you think about that concept, especially you being someone who's married?
Yeah, well, to some degree, yeah, it is a merger. It is a business relationship, and I happen to have a great business partner in my wife to a great degree. But I think in general, not to generalize, but in general, it's hard sometimes to deal with women in relationships. Because as I said before, they change their mind because they're very emotional. We just wire it differently. That's all. It's not an insult. We just wire it differently. Women want to say things like, I want my man to desire only me. That's a great thing, but then don't bitch and moan that he wants to have sex with you all the time. Or he wants his sex. He wants it from you. What are you crying about? Okay? The thing is that men are very simple. We're very simple creatures. Okay? Let me explain to you how simple a man is. This is what we want. Okay? When we're in a relationship and we're happy with the woman, we want a big screen TV, we want a great meal, and we want a damn good head job. That's all. That'll keep us happy.
Okay, this is not Bree After Dark.
I'm just telling you.
Oh, my God.
That's what the man wants to stay happy.
That was real. He just kept it real, though, Roy. That was a real thing, what he just said. We are simple. We are very simple.
Now, I'm speaking to that. Now, that's coming from a man who is currently married.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, if Chris New York is still on the line, Chris is very open with the fact that he's divorced. So, Chris, what do you think about what Martin the Barber and Alex has to say?
Well, I would have to agree from one aspect, which is, let me start with what I'm going to disagree with. I think that all women know what they want today, but they don't know what they want tomorrow. They always know what they want today, but I think that is never an indication of what they're going to want tomorrow or next month or next year.
Right.
Now that's something that you have to build into it. I mean, but like I said, as you get to know that person, we're going to know their percentage of flexibility. Now, the fact is, if she wants something, I mean, completely 180 degrees different from day to day, I mean, then that's going to be ridiculous. But the fact is, if it's just a little more this or a little more that or maybe some huge changes over long periods of time, well, then that's not a problem, you know, because
So what do you agree with?
Well, what I do agree with is the fact that this is something that I agree with the concept of a business from the concept that we have to be able to deal on different levels. And anybody who's been divorced, I mean, hopefully I'm the only one on the line, but the fact is anybody who's been divorced knows that it is a business. If you didn't know it when you got married, you know it when you got divorced. Because we break it down on paper into sections, and you have to deal with each part of it as if it was a contract, and it will always be a contract because the fact is some of the things supersede y'all speaking to each other, and just like any other contract, you're gonna be held responsible the different factions of it regardless. So I believe that if you looked at it as a business going in, you could probably have a better hold on.
Hey, Chris, check this out on it. Check this out, Chris. The funny thing about divorce, because I'm divorced too, I can tell you this. The weirdest thing is when you get married, there's very little paperwork. When you get divorced, there's a lot more. And I was wondering, since we went into a contract, I didn't know, this is what we didn't know. We did not know what the contract was until we were getting out of it. As long as you're in it, you don't really know what the contract is. Besides what
well, that's why about. Chris and I, last week, and I wish Martin the Barber was with us during that show. That's why Chris and I both agree that, you know, I think couples that are considering or that are very committed to the idea of getting married and they're moving forward with that, I think throwing those divorce packets down on the table and giving each one of them a copy to review to say, okay, you really want to get married? Understand that this is a contract. That if you want to breach it, this is what you're going to have to go through in order to get out of it.
Well, actually, can I say something to that? This is the thing. What y'all was saying is one good part. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about if you look at a corporation, the articles of incorporation, if you've ever looked at it, or even a limited liability corporation, you will see that it's not just what are you going to get out. You need to know exactly what you're agreeing to. Forget about what it's going to take to get out. I want to know what am I agreeing to. What does that look like?
The divorce packet and the instructions in order to dissolve the contract tells you what it is that you were in that you're trying to dissolve. Am I not right, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely right.
Okay.
I understand marriage, and I understand the dissolution of marriages, whatever, whether it be irreconcilable type differences or whatever it may be. But you can't look at it like you're contracting me a piece of coochie. You know what I mean? Like the dynamic of the marriage itself, because everything else is going on, I can get all of that outside of the house. You know what I'm saying? Like every little piece of that you put in that bed. If you're basing our marriage on what you're doing for me in the bed, Mark, or what you're doing for a guy in the bed, y'all should just go get girls, really, for real. Because like we really not even about that. Like we really are about progression. You know what I'm saying? We're really just about as much as y'all are. It's just your ideals about marriage and about who y'all are and your concept of who y'all are changed so much. And that's no disrespect, like I say again, to no woman on the line, period. It's just that there's so much,
that's a fact.
When y'all feel like the grass is greener, you know what I mean? And y'all expect us to up the bar overnight just because you were exposed to it, you know what I mean, to one of your friends or through a video. Movie or something, you know what I mean? Like going through this freaking dollar movie, you know what I mean? And we can't. And I just feel like we're held to an unreal expectation a lot of the time, as far as like what our commitments are. You know what I mean? You're talking about, and maybe you are right. Maybe y'all should tell us, okay, what is going to be the deal breaker? Then maybe we should all get that in writing. Then okay, if you can't do this here, or if you can't deliver that right there, or if you can't make $1 million, if you can't put me in this type of house, then maybe that should be said up front. Then you know what I mean? So we'll know what y'all want then, and we'll.
They can't tell you that because their mind change every day.
Cut it out.
Right, and that's a given. I understand.
You can say what you want. Stop playing. Stop talking about love, because love ain't got nothing to do with it.
Well,
love is real. Love is real. Love is real, bro. Like love is real. Hey, love is that thing, man. Like that you do blindly, though. You know what I'm saying? Like it don't have nothing to do with what they saw on TV or none of that, man. Like love is something like that you never be able to interpret. You know what I mean?
Love is an emotional reality.
Love is definitely an infinite reality, bro.
Hey, Bree.
You know what? Living in a world where marriage is less than 50% in the minority and people treat each other like crap, the reality of love, everybody has been in love with somebody they don't even speak to. So how real is that love now?
As a divorced brother, you're a divorced, you're probably still nursing some issues like from what you just probably just come through.
I'm not even talking about her. I'm talking about every single person that I know.
I'm talking about as it relates to experience with love, bro.
Everybody I know has said I love you to somebody that they're not speaking to today. Somebody, somewhere. So how real is that love?
Well, you might still be loving them, not speaking to them. You might be loving them, not speaking to them. That's a whole other show.
Now,
who are you
talking
to on the next show?
So, Turtle.
Radio.
So, Turtle, you've heard four different male perspectives on this whole partnership, business deal. All the ways that it was described, and the fact that they're all in consensus to say that women don't know what they want, or they know what they want today, but they don't know what they want tomorrow. What say you about that?
Well, after hearing that men are simple, and I also read this in the Steve Harvey book as well, men are simple, as well as women don't know what they want because they get something and they realize, this ain't it either. But I'll agree with that. And the business contract is that contract that you sign for marriage. It is a business when you look at it from the marriage standpoint, the contract that you agree to, that is supposed to be a business. And we're supposed to be our property if you really want to look at it. But
not really.
What?
Yeah, well, traditionally, if you look at all the traditional, especially traditional religions and society, that is really truly what it is. That's what the 70s movement was about.
Exactly.
I don't want to be property no more. I don't want to be property
but
no more.
But let me get this point, because you know how I lose my thoughts real quick. The point is,
yes.
the reason, if y'all that simple that all you want is a TV, and he said three things.
The backseat
one, what's that noise?
Has it.
What's
please.
Like somebody getting on the train.
Oh, that ain't me. Put your phone on mute, because that's what I should have did. But I guess we get bored with y'all, because that's boring. That is just really boring. Like, we're step out of the box. I don't know.
Is that why y'all initiate the majority of divorces?
Is that why we? Probably. If y'all that boring, all y'all want to do is sit on the TV, get ahead, and what's the other one? That's so
it's
boring.
Not boring. You know what we want. Get a good meal. Get a good meal.
You have a girl.
Whatever.
Get a good meal. What else? Oh, the big screen TV and
yeah.
A good head job.
That's why the divorce rate is high. Y'all bore the heck out of us.
And for those three things that we are providing, what are we getting in return? We might want to talk about that one another radio because we don't have enough time.
If you check what they're saying, check this out. If they're right what they're saying, then guess what that means? That means if Gail says what she believes about us and agrees with the simplicity piece and that we're boring, then that means that she's just going to leave out and she's going to go to Mr. Goodbar or Mr. Goodbar on milk too. Because if we're all saying, then guess what? He's going to do the same thing. He wants a TV. He's going to want the head. He's going to want the meal.
Or she's going to remain alone and just whatever.
He's going to be alone.
Survey, how many ladies are online right now?
Two.
How many ladies are online right now? Just two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many of y'all have girlfriends? I'm sorry.
I don't.
Guy friends? Guy friends?
Girlfriend. Girlfriend. How many of y'all are
online?
No.
I have one girlfriend. That's all I need.
You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all that you date, like, that you also date women?
Huh? Oh, no, I don't have none of that.
Oh, no,
why,
not
why
me.
Why are you asking that anyway? So why are you
saying
that?
Well, no, because, like, the regular male-female dynamic was so boring to you. That's why I was asking.
So what?
Okay, well, on that note, we're going to be wrapping the show, and we're going to end the show with the Bree Life Radio Talk Show outro, which is the intro. I want to thank all my guest callers for calling in, and I want to remind everyone to listen to us on Bree Life Radio at blogtalkradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, and send your questions, concerns, and criticisms to BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. Peace and blessings, everyone. This is your host, Bree, and I'll be listening to you on Tuesday.
Good night.
Yeah, yeah. Adrian in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
We're gonna go in. Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. Positive, uplifting, and honest. Here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn, and the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the next connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the